couplets of some theologian or some theology that has pre-packaged their belief system and delivered it to you from a headquarters source of a religious organization. Most of it is uninspired. Most of it is just an exercise in fertility of trying to understand the scriptures as they're written by the Holy Ghost. So then, we're going into Revelations chapter 20, and we're going to begin our text tonight in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Wonder who that angel was. Do you have any idea? Was it someone with the master key? Who would that have been? What angel came to earth and lighted it with glory in the world made by him, and the world knew him not? He had the key of the bottomless pit. Now, think about this for just a moment. Who in the universe can handle or control or bind the stronghold or the power that Satan possesses when he's given the kingship, if you will, of the earth? I mean, he just came in and took over. He raised him a bunch of little ditties, and he started farming these tares. He started controlling governments. Look at the government of Revelations chapter 12, where it's written that Satan, now, he stood before the woman who was to bring forth the man-child, so he could devour. Now, who did he try to devour? Well, we find in Matthew chapter 2 that he inquired through Herod, the flesh and body embodiment of the working of... You see, Satan always works through somebody. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. However, he can reach you or control you if you surrender your mind to him. If you give in to the lust, if you remove the legal rights of expelling him. You see, Satan can come in and he can achieve a complete successful possession or oppression. In Yahweh's children's sight, or in their case, he cannot possess. I'll repeat this. Greater is he than he that is in the world. Now remember that. If you have the power, you have no fear, you resist Satan, and the enemy has or must submit to the legal right to flee from us. Resist him and he'll flee from you. So he's not omnipresent. But he does work through the carnal mind. Now get this. He's everywhere through the carnal mind. He's nowhere in the spiritual aspect of the legal right. And if he's going to achieve a successful possession or oppression, he must first bind the strong man. The likewise, Yahweh himself must, to possess his kingdom, And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Now, I don't know where you know how much power this angel that came down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Now, what's this for? When did this happen? When the Messiah was born into this world in a flesh body, he came with a key, the master key. Oh, hallelujah. I felt that. Whew. He had, even in these little tiny hands, even in this little harmless tiny body, Satan knew that this was the son of the Elohim, Yahweh himself, bringing himself into existence through the woman. Her heart was troubled. She was confused. She didn't understand. And the Bible said, when he grew up to the age, I'm going to tell you when he began to handle the serpent. You say, was he a serpent handled, Pastor Buddy? Mark 16 and 16 describes the ability of this master key of the great angel. He was an embodiment of an angel. He had the power to control the 12 legions of angels. He didn't have to die. He submitted to that voluntarily. He didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to be humiliated. He could have called 12 legions of angels for deliverance, but he did not. Now listen to me well. He did not need one angel. He himself was the master key angel that is seen in John, by John, in chapter 20 of Revelation. And at what point between verse 1 and verse 2 do you believe that he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years? And the answer to that is, when he was initiated into the Melchizedek covenant at the age of 30 years. He had no power to do anything until he was sanctified as a priest at 30 years of age. Now, at 30 years, he began to preach the power of the spoken word, became mighty, activated to chase 1,000, or put 10,000s to flight, or tear down, or bind the strong man. And oh my, how Satan fears. How he avoids contact with this mighty one. Listen to the scriptures. All power. Matthew 28:19. All power. I'm going to say it again. All power. Now, this came at the resurrection. Now, keep that in mind. He began his ministry and preached 3.5 years, or 33, if you will, and a half, which is a sign in the heavens of a complete rotation of the first order of business. Now, we know there's two resurrections. Now, that leaves the third part for a future date. After the second resurrection, there's going to be another enactment of the 33 and a third. That is complete wholeness when he himself comes from heaven with, now let me repeat this, when he came down without his angels. They were needed. It wasn't in the plan. It wasn't written in the script. It was for him to go through life and learn obedience, learn how to fight or resist Satan on the tearing down of his stronghold and removing Satan's legal right as the prosecuting attorney against the saints of Yahweh. Oh, it's a marvelous plan. This is so deep, and it's so wonderful, it's so joyful, and so unspeakable that very few people dare go where I'm going tonight in a revelation. They don't have the authority, number one. They don't have the knowledge, and they certainly do not have the understanding of what happened or what's transpired. You hear these Christian preachers talk about the rapture, talk about the church being caught away and taken from the earth, taken somewhere, and they're going to stay there 1,000 years and reign with Christ in a future event. That's the way they preach it. There's about 10 different versions of post-trib, mid-trib, whatever, pre-trib, and the catching away of the saints and getting them off the earth at some point, whether it be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, it doesn't matter. They've got a glove, spiritual binding glove, that they have made through their tradition to wrap around your thoughts and bring your thoughts into captivity by promising you liberty of a rapture when they themselves are servants of corruption of this evil one who takes them captive at his will. When we commit sin, it gives Satan the legal right to come in against us. Go and sin no more, Yahweh said when he delivered the young woman or the young man. Go and sin no more. Sin is a legal right for Satan or his demons, giving them an opportunity to enter in or to harass us, depending on who you are. If you are a son of Yahweh, or a daughter of Yahweh, you have, Satan has no power to possess you. Satan can oppress you. He can harass you through your sins, which gives him a legal right to come in. And by the more you sin, the more legal right Satan is given to afflict you. Praise Yahweh. Sin is a transgression of the law. And when you transgress, Satan, the prosecuting attorney, has the legal right or an opportunity to come in, especially if it's a willful sin. Sometimes we sin ignorantly. You know, just sitting down at the table and gorging yourself till you can't walk. You have to go lay down somewhere till your food digests and you're so sick you vomit some of it up like a dog. That's a sin. Now, whether that's a willful sin or whether it's your first sin, if you keep doing that, it's willful. If you are warned or corrected, either way, show my face. people their sins, then Satan no longer has the opportunity to harass you, to oppress you, or if you're Yahweh's children, to even to think about possessing you. Satan can get on your shoulder. He can buzz your ear. The first thing that Satan does is bring in those screaming demons in your ear. Oh, look at you. Look how you've been mistreated. Look at you. God don't love you. Look at you. You're in a pitiful shape. You must have done something real bad, like the young man born blind. But ladies and gentlemen, the question is, at what point did the Messiah bind Satan for 1,000 years? Well, it's right here in the Bible, right in front of you. If it's rightly divided and given to you, and it says, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, question. How long's 1,000 years? Well, it can be one day, according to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, or 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Let me read that for you. But beloved, this is 3 and 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Be not ignorant. My people are destroyed for ignorance or lack of knowledge. My people are confused because they have no understanding. They're brutish. They're sottish. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, now whether that be a 24-hour period or a Yahweh day, that's for you to figure out. That's why it makes it so difficult to understand this until it's rightly divided in your presence, and then it becomes very clear. One day is with Yahweh, as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, get this now, as one day. Now then, let's do this when we come to an understanding of the danger of false teaching under the pretense of a rapture, a secret snatching, where it be post, pre-trib, whether it be mid-trib or whatever. We've got to be very careful that the devil does not take us in his craftiness. Notice this. And cast him into the bottomless pit. At what time? Say it with me. When he received all power. Matthew 28:19. All power is given unto me. Now, until then, until he died, until he proved himself, until he endured the affliction as Job. See, this is why the book of Job is written. Job had nothing in comparison to persecution or pain compared to the Messiah. The Messiah was one of the most brutalist treated. I mean, it was brutal. It was painful. Excruciating. When they opened up his side, he suffered and cried. Now, let me give you, now we think, well, oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23, verse 34. In the original Greek, it says, Father, forgive them not. Now, here's the reason. Those who killed him absolutely, unequivocally, knew, predetermined as a conspiracy to do away with him, and then they could be heirs to the kingdom. acting on behalf of Satan through the Herod the Tetrarch for Pilate, the political Roman, and through the persuasive powers of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even Pilate feared them, that they would stir up political turmoil, and he would be replaced as the Roman governor of Judea. Now, let me remind you that Herod was over Galilee, and the Roman governor, Pilate, was over Judah. Now, isn't that a cross switch? Satan's smart. This is a political rendering, but at the point of the I have overcome, and behold, all power, verse 3 then, gave him power. I saw this angel having the key of the bottomless pit. Now, he came down as a little baby, but he grew and learned wisdom and knowledge and endured the temptations and the pain and the agony and the suffering and endured the afflictions that went with the crucifixion, which was almost unbearable. Now, they went out of their way to treat him or to inflict pain upon him, that he would confess. They would get their way. You know, it's just like the United States government sending a prisoner down to Guantanamo Bay and waterboarding him. That's a piece of cake. Waterboarding doesn't even touch the tip of the scale to the pain on the scale of pain from 1 to 10. Yahweh experienced at least a 12. And the 12 was the sacred number of why he reduced the pain or why he endured the pain. And they induced it. They tried to break this man that came from heaven with a key of the bottomless pit. Now, my reminder to you is that when he died, he descended into the lower part of the earth. Now, think about this. Most Christians have got this glossy image of the Messiah. When he dies, he went back to the Father. How could he go back to something that he already was? Oh, you say now the Father wasn't with him. Well, you deny what he said. He said the Father is with me, and he never leaves me. It was the Father that brought the body of flesh into the world, and the Father, the eternal Spirit, dwelled in it until he vacated the temple and left it hanging on a torture stake, dead, or DOA. In this case, DOF. Dead on finish. He said, it's finished. The last word he said, it's finished. Now, the eternal Spirit, the Father, the power, the key, the master builder, the one that had the great chain, Satan knew that if he couldn't defeat him at the torture stake, that his dog and pony show was fixing to end. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to remind you, I don't care how powerful you think the devil is. I don't care how much you think he's in control. I don't care how much you fear him. I don't care how much you knuckle down to any civil power. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Our Savior, Creator, when he rose conquering death, hell, and the grave. Death, hell, and the grave. He was greater than Satan and all of Satan's agents. opponents or enemies. And he said, all power is given to me. Now, who gave it to him? Well, it says in Revelation here, it says, we thank you, O Lord God of heaven and earth, if I'm permitted to say that, for the sake of the King James, because you, not us, we or them, you have taken to yourself your great power and has reigned. He could not reign supreme until Satan was defeated. Satan was bound and a chain of restraint was placed on him until 1,000 years would expire. You say, boy, if he's bound now, Pastor Buddy, I'd hate to see him when he's loose. You would. You got that right, son. Satan is restrained, is forbidden to come to this earth in a glorified state, which is his master plan. Satan is coming to deceive the very elect. Satan is coming, and to him will be given these marvelous signs and wonders to deceive even the very elect. He's going to come as a liar, but it's going to sound so much like the truth that these false prophets, I talked about them last night, these last day prophets, I mean, you know, they pride themselves, I'm the last day prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a lie within itself. He didn't say, I'll send you a prophet. He said, I'll send you prophets and teachers. I will put my spirit upon them. I will anoint them. They shall be hated of all of the people on the earth except those whose names are written in the Lamb's book with my name in their forehead. Matthew 10:22 is a fulfillment, and I got introduced to that 25 years approximately ago when I was preaching in Jesus' name for 30 years. Now I'm 55 years or so into the ministry with the revelation of an angel that came down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. This started when he arose in Matthew 27, verse 56, when he come out of the tombs. Now, I'll go into this Friday night in detail. When he rose conquering death, hell, and the grave, then he had the enforcement authority to bind Satan. That he would be moved. Now, listen to this. It's going to get interesting for you if you'll stay tuned. To cast Satan out of his rightful place. Satan had a legal right to be where he was because from the very beginning he was at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. When Yahweh himself became the king of glory, manifested in a flesh body, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and therefore he took unto himself the power to bind Satan. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, your theology is not correct. It's been over 1,000 years since he resurrected. Correct. Now you're getting it. Listen to this little obscure scripture that's located in an obscure book. I'll go into it tomorrow night in detail and show you what book it's at. But let me just quote it here for the time being for the appropriate place to tell you, to warn you and to instruct you that the Bible says that after 2 days, not one, 1 day would be 1,000 years. But after 2 days, we're going to be delivered. Oh, my. We are in the area of the time frame of with 1,000 years being 1 day, as Yahweh said. And then, so he looks, well, this is the second day of 1,000 years. We've passed that. Now we're into the third day. When did he arise? When did he conquer? When did he overcome? The third day. When are you going to conquer? In the third dispensation of time, when, here is the key. It says in the book of Matthew, in chapter 13, that he's coming back to earth with all of his angels, this time all of them. Can you comprehend the power, the prestige, the glory, the honor, and the magnificent appearance of the great and the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? Can you fathom in your the feeble mind, as I am, this is so wonderful, and it's such a great mystery that nobody knows what time that Satan was bound and how long it'll be. And then, let me go back to the third verse. He bound Satan in the second verse 1,000 years with the chain, that's a restrainer, cast him into the bottomless pit. Now, why was Satan moved from heaven, who had the power to bring Satan out of heaven? I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Tomorrow night, I'm going to get into a mysterious element of Scripture that is hidden and revealed only to those who have eyes to see. Show you some of the great mysteries of John and Moses and Elias and the Messiah, those two beings being one person. So it was between the Messiah, who had the salvational key, the master key, and Moses, who had the authority of the law, which Satan desired, and Elijah, who represented the dispensation of prophets. There is not, I'm going to repeat this, there is not, according to the Messiah, in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, I'll go in it tomorrow night, or Friday night, on part two of the 1,000-year reign. We're going to do three parts, try to finish this up Saturday night. Stay with us. It's going to get informative. It's going to get revealing that the priesthood began at 30. He preached for 3.5 years, which was approximately 33 1/3 in the first resurrection. At this point, on the master plan, this is where the evidence is written in numeric code for those who are wise, for those that can see, for those that can understand, and for those that can hear the gospel and receive it from the mouth of prophets and teachers. I don't really get myself out as a prophet, but I am a master teacher. I know what I preach. I know what I teach. I can prove it and confirm it, and the signs will follow. He was cast into the bottomless pit and shut up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Now, after 2 days, he's going to revive us. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, right there, we're going to pick that up Friday night. I'm going to pick that up and really juice it up and energize it with the Holy Ghost to where a babe or a fool, though a blind man, would not err in the revelation of when the thousand-year reign began. And I'm telling you tonight, unequivocally and righteously, that the thousand-year reign began the day he rose up, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and he cast Satan down at a point the war began at his arrival on earth. And I'm going to tell you when that war commenced, when it ended, what was the results of that war. Michael, chapter 12 of Revelation, stated that he fought with the dragon. This is the one that was bound for 1,000 years. Who is this master angel? Who does he represent? What does he represent? When did he represent it? And when was it enacted? And what process of time do we expect Satan to be loosed out of his place? Now, I've done a series of patchwork that if you have the knowledge and you'd listen closely, you would have caught this in my series of 20 and 12. There was a few people that seemed like that they were beginning to understand. He's beginning to register. And I've done over 35 hours on the arrival of Satan to this planet. I'm going to repeat that. We have within the website, Brother Bob has it all posted for your listening. And the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? Again, you've got to be anointed, you've got to be chosen, and you've got to be gifted, and the knowledge has to give you the understanding. And I was given this understanding over 50 years ago. So help me. One of the greatest bits of truth and information I even saw in a vision, the end time, when the Messiah came back from the heavens. As he went away, he's coming back again. He didn't go up on a cloud, as most Christians think they're going up on a cloud. He went up in a cloud. There's a difference. You're not going to float like a butterfly and be harmless as a dove. You ain't going to sting like a bee, that's for sure. But when you endure the knowledge of the binding of the strong man, Yahweh bound the strong man through his death, burial, and resurrection, and came out with a bride. He actually, listen to me, he's done raptured out. The rapture has a ring of truth if you put it in the correct resurrection. He's done raptured out in the first resurrection. And as we get into the rest of this, tomorrow night, we're going to finish up the 20th chapter here. I have never got through the 20th chapter. There's so much involved, and my mind is going in so many places to wrap this as a tight ball of yarn that cannot be disputed, proving all things, which is good and acceptable by searching the scriptures to see whether these things are so. And I me go back to verse 3 to reiterate. And cast Satan into the bottomless pit. Now, this is a mighty angel. Got a chain. Who was this angel? This was the one that came from heaven. No man has ascended into heaven. The Messiah definitely ascended into heaven. But first, he that came down out of heaven, even the Son of Man. Now, one of the greatest mysteries of this element is going to be someone else that came down out of heaven. And I'm going to give you two more beings that came from heaven, proving to you that these beings were chosen before the foundation of the world in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We got Moses, Elijah, and the Messiah has been the three witnesses. And in the mouth of two or three, every word is going to be established, and through John the Baptist as the key to this understanding and why the war commenced and what it was all about. And in reality, this war is still going on right at this moment. If you could see into the heavens, if the heavens were opened like a scroll, as they're going to be. Now, I told you in Matthew 13, I made a comment that when he comes, he's coming with all of his angels. And listen to what he said that he's going to do. They're going to server or select not the righteous for a rapture, but the wicked for a capture. According to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to repeat that. His angels are coming with him for one purpose. They are going to gather the wicked. I'll repeat that. They're going to gather the wicked. The wicked will have no power against these mighty ones. The authority of the man with the chain, after he loses the devil, the final capture and the final battle, Armageddon, will be done and finished when Satan and his tares. Now remember, Satan comes to earth to sow tares. Well, he was permitted on the earth. Now, follow me well here. Satan and all of the other angels at one time had the run of to and fro throughout the earth. They could go anywhere they wanted to. They could do anything that they wanted. They were under moral obligations to be holy. They weren't permitted to marry or interact with the sons of Adam. Satan taking advantage of the woman, the weakness of the woman in the garden, impregnated her with a tare. That forced Yahweh into action that was unprecedented. He himself had to place the righteous seed, which was Abel as a product, to counter Satan's product, Cain, who was a murderer and a liar from the very beginning, and so is his children, according to John 8:44, which I ended the series of the Ashkenazis, or the Edomites, or the Canaanites. What appropriate tying it back together at this point, because from the beginning of time, the tares have been growing along with the wheat, and the final action required of all of the angels is to gather those tares and burn them. I will repeat that. Not a rapture of the saints, but a capture of the tares. Sever them, separate them from among the wheat. At this time, there is a rooting up of everything that's rooted and those that can't be rooted will remain. Do you understand that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the time is at hand. We are in the beginning of the days of sorrow. Things are going to have to progress on a scale unprecedented to the point that there's going to be a time of trouble. Now, I'm going to start tomorrow night again in the 20th chapter. I'm going to begin at the 4th verse. I've only covered 3 verses of Revelation chapter 20. I'll cover beginning at the 4th verse. This is where it's going to get spicy. This is where it's going to get interesting. This is where the rubber's going to meet the road. Remember this scripture. Saints, you that know the truth. There is a way that seemeth right. It seems like we're going to rapture out and go up on a cloud. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Way up in the heavens. We're going to float on up there. And then he's going to take us over to what we describe in Christian theology as heaven. We're going to reign there with him 1,000 years. Then he's going to rain fire and judgment on the wicked. And then he's coming back. Listen to this now. Listen how foolish this is. He's coming back to loose Satan for another little season. Even after he's bound, we're going to, the teaching of the Christian church is the rapture of the saints, a reign of 1,000 years, and then the next move is to loose him again and let him commence again, and then the final return of the Matthew 24 experience. That I'm telling you right now that the sequence doesn't fit the spiritual glove that they have manufactured and sewed together. The truth will not fit into that glove. Remember this. The enemy tempts us to think the wrong thing, and when we accept it and make it a habit, it opens the door for the enemy to move further into our life to deceive us. Be not deceived. Be watchful. For Satan and his agents are soon to be released. And I give you the scenario of the loosing example in the heavens. The heavens are replete with the evidence of a picture-perfect star system that paints a picture of Hydra the serpent and the serpent holder that I've been talking about tonight, which is the great angel, which was the Messiah in a flesh body. That's the angel. Came to earth as a little baby, harmless, and he grew and he learned obedience. He learned obedience. Being found in a form of a man, he learned obedience. That's a hard one. You know it is. I know it is, because I've been here for almost 74 years, and it's been an interesting experience of rightly dividing the word, separating fact from fiction, as he's going to separate goats from sheep or tares from wheat. And that's the next episode. We'll pick up in the 4th verse tomorrow night. Now, you listen to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're heard around the world 5 nights a week. We begin on Monday night at 9 o'clock. We come in on the late hour at 11 o'clock on Tuesday night. And you West Coast faithful followers that set up until after midnight, you have to hear the gospel or to hear the message from the Shepherd's Call. And we appreciate those that do listen in, those that comment, those that call, those that contribute. You are, without you, we're nothing. Without you, my voice goes silent. And at this point, my voice is needed to be heard, and because of the mystery and the puzzle or the missing pieces that I'm filling in, that no man, you've never heard no man, I guarantee it, you've never heard anyone teach this subject in such a manner. You've only heard a three-verse expose of what I have talked about. Tomorrow night we'll start at the fourth verse of the 20th chapter, and then we're going into some of the hidden aspects of this mystery to unravel it for you and prove to you that this is so serious that there was a war in heaven that is still going on. Satan and his angels. You see, Yahweh had a third beginning of 33 and a third. Satan wanted a third, and he got him. What Satan wants, Satan gets. He wanted to be like the Most High. Well, he had to have a third. Well, he got him. He got him a third. The only problem, that's all he's getting. Yahweh got a third in the first resurrection. He's going to get the other third in the second resurrection, and the other third, which will be the completeness of a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll get into those systematic one-third, 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 which would be a hold. Satan has no way of getting all. He had nine stones to cover. There's three stones that he could never possess. One of those was the coronation stone, or what we call the birthright stone. He couldn't get it. Oh, he desired it. He got close. He even caused Ephraim to turn out to be a bunch of drunks. And I've always said that my nature, being from the house of Ephraim, Joseph, that I would have been a bondified, drunk, alcoholic, had it not been for the grace of Yahweh to place in my body a physical weakness that I can't drink. I can't consume alcohol because it runs my blood pressure plumb to the top of, it runs high anyway, so when I drink alcohol, it magnifies the problem, and therefore, being from the house of Ephraim and Satan turning us every which way but loose, because we are the birthright sons with the revelation. Yahweh told me, he said, Satan, I'm giving you this revelation, buddy. I want you to take it to my people. Satan will fight you. And ladies and gentlemen, I can truthfully say after 55 years, I have never had a moment's peace that Satan wasn't knocking through somebody. I've watched him. He'll work through somebody or something to kill your influence, destroy your power, or to hinder the spoken word in righteousness. And Yahweh said, I'll stand with you. I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Now, write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, the transmitting Jewel of the South, right here from Morrison, Tennessee, the great state of Tennessee. WWRB is the premier radio station that don't aggravate you to death with advertisement, gold purchases or silver purchases or snake oil or whatever they're selling. I'm so thankful for Dave that Dave has got the knowledge he's got. It's wonderful that this man is so devoted. He wears two or three hats, and he wears them well. He's a professional pilot. He's got a business. He charter flies people around the United States and some places in foreign countries. So we're thankful for Dave, and we give him credit where credit's due. He's also a minister of the truth. He can get into the truth, and he can dish it out as well as taking it. Praise Yahweh, and that's the mark of a good man. Call me tonight, area code 423-338-1972. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Friday night around the world at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, and the blessings of Yahweh be.